Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Right, a poll by Wind Energy Ireland, which was published last week, found that public support for wind farms has increased to a record level. 80% of people citing cheaper electricity as the number one benefit, and there are now 36 offshore wind farms, and they're at various stages of design or planning around Ireland's east, south and west coasts. But while the new technology is set to form a huge part of our future, there are fears and risks around their operation. Joining me now for more on this, I have Una Dog and Head of Advocacy at Birdwatch Ireland here in the studio, and from our Waterford studio, Mark O'Cahasig, who's Green Party TD and spokesperson on social protection. Mark, I'll start with you, because what we're seeing here, what we're saying is that over the next 10 years, our coastline is going to transform, and that process is already underway. How concerned is the Green Party, though, about the impact this is going to have on biodiversity and on the environment?
Yeah, this is a very live issue, Claire, down here in the southeast, because we're one of the areas that were, as I suppose, marked out for that kind of offshore development, as well as along the east coast. And all of these things that come with a certain amount of compromise and trade-off. So there will, with anything, any kind of large-scale industrialization of an area that we're talking about with these offshore wind farms, will come with an environmental impact. And so what we have to do, I suppose, is to try and strike the right balance in that, to make sure that those areas that are most sensitive and most in need of protection and most valuable in terms of wildlife and biodiversity, that those are the ones that are given the most protection, mm-hmm. while at the same time recognising, I mean, the climate imperative that we have in front of us and the huge opportunity we have in terms of the development of our offshore renewables.
You know what's the most worrying thing for me in what you said is industrialisation of our beautiful coastline. I mean, is that really what we're looking at doing?
Well, I suppose maybe industrialisation is too strong a word, but we have to be honest. I mean, certainly I live in Tremore. I know the Copper Coast extremely well, and when I look out from the Copper Coast in years in the future, I will be able to see these wind turbines producing the clean electricity that our economy and our society needs mm-hmm. to run. So there certainly be, and a lot of people who speak to me, they worry about the visual impact of that. I mean, I share those concerns, but also we have to be extremely cognizant of the biodiversity impact on those birds that are migrating, on the marine mammals who will surely, you know, that's the whales, the dolphins, etc., who will surely, there will be some impact in terms of this development. So that might be, I suppose, emotive language. Maybe it's too strong, but I do think we have to have a level of honesty as well in terms of the development that's needed.
So Una, do we know what the impact of these wind farms, offshore wind farms, will be at this point?
Well, can I just say the first thing is just on that poll, that's really welcome to see more and more people accepting of wind energy, because we know for a fact we have to have more wind energy. The scale of it, I think we need to be careful about, because I would like to know who's going to call stop when. As in, you know, if we want to make this like the new gold, you know, that they're a gold rush on wind farms in the marine environment, I'd be very concerned of when is it going to stop, because there will be impacts on marine life. And we know for seabirds that they are one of the I suppose, users of the marine environment that are impacted the most. There's been a couple of papers out which show that they're the group of species that are most impacted. So some of the impacts would be from the barrier effect of like, let's say, a line of wind turbines in a row, and the birds have to use up their energy that they need for eating and just resting and breeding to go around these large wind parks. And then there's the collision risk, where they actually get hit by the turbines. Now, those species that would get hit by the blades would be soaring birds, very high flying birds. Like some gull species. And then we have the impacts on habitats and where they're actually the foundations of these wind farms go, right mm-hmm. down into the ground, because those habitats are often spawning grounds for fish that the birds eat. And in particular, during the breeding period, this is when they're most vulnerable. We have a lot of breeding seabird colonies on the east coast and the south coast and on the west that are really, really important, internationally important. And
Isn't it the case, though, that we don't know exactly how those birds use the offshore areas?
Yeah.
Do we need to find out more about their habits?
Yes, we know very little about how seabirds use, and let's say the Irish Sea, because that's where the most the most urgency is at the moment. There's a race on for wind farm sites now in the Irish Sea. And we don't know enough. We don't know enough about the what they eat, where they go to eat. Birdwatch Ireland has conducted some studies and we do know some bit of information. But there's just been very poor investment in this area
for
years.
And just to be clear, when it comes to wind farms and environmental assessments, they're being done by whom?
They're being done by consultants hired by the wind farm companies.
Mm-hmm. Are you content with that setup?
It's a tricky one. I mean, it's the one we have. I know in Holland, they that's the government itself that does the environmental impact assessment, which I think could be an interesting approach.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, and this is not a pointing fingers at wind energy, let's say, as a sector, but in Ireland, 63% of our wild bird species are declining. Are in trouble. Okay, 63% of our 212 regularly occurring bird species. And yet every environmental impact assessment, every strategic environmental impact assessment, every appropriate assessment says no significant concerns, everything will be grand.
Okay, well, Mark.
So we have a problem with environmental impact assessment here.
Let's talk about that, Mark. Why are we allowing those companies to undertake their own environmental impact assessments? Is that not something that we should, for example, be asking Chagas to do?
Well, I'm not sure that Chagas would be the right organisation when we're talking about offshore in particular.
Okay, government agency, would they not be better placed to carry out an environmental impact assessment?
Well, what I'd say is it's these companies who stand to profit. So I think it's incumbent on these companies to take on the costs of producing the environmental assessment.
They still could do that, but they could have pay a government agency to carry out the assessment and pay for it.
Well, I think what's really important is to have the correct level of oversight. So be that through MARA, which is the new agency set up to kind of regulate this area, be it on board Planola, be it the coastal local authorities that MARA can refer to kind of maritime area consents to. We need to make sure that we have the right expertise in those bodies who are acting in terms of the public interest and the wider interests of the natural world.
Is that expertise there at the moment?
No, it's not. And we're starting to make it available, but this is a message I think that needs to go out very strongly, that there is a need for more environmental scientists. There's a need for more ecologists, marine specialists, ornithologists, and something that I think really should be happening at this point. Workforce planning is a phrase I'm hearing again and again across different sectors of the government. There absolutely needs to be workforce planning in this area. I think Minister Noonan should sit down with Minister Harris and talk about this, because there are huge job opportunities here. So people will have an opportunity to make good careers out of this. But more importantly, these are skills that we absolutely need in our local authorities, in on board Planola, to kind of, I think it's appropriate for these companies to foot the bill for the environmental impact assessments. But what we need is really good oversight to make sure that those environmental impact assessments are telling us the truth and making sure that we're protecting those most vulnerable and most valuable.
So Una, if that
areas.
Oversight function was there and properly staffed, would you be content with that?
I would have to wait and see. I don't know. I've monitored and reviewed and commented on many, many strategic environmental assessments and actual planning applications. And it seems like at times getting to the right answer is what the goal is, because political imperative will override the ecological imperative. And I just say, like, we're in climate and a biodiversity crisis, and we really need to address both of them mm-hmm. together.
But you're talking to, you know, a member of the Green Party here, Green Party TD. You don't have to tell Mark this. Am I right, Mark?
No, absolutely. I think myself and Una are on the same page in this. I want these environmental impact assessments to really hold these energy companies to account, to hold their feet to the fire, that absolutely we have a need for the production of mm-hmm. clean, renewable electricity. But we have to balance that against, as Una said, we're in a climate crisis, but we're also in a biodiversity crisis.
You said, Mark, at the start that this is a live issue where you are in Tremor and along the Copper Coast. What does that look like as a local representative? What are you hearing? What are people saying to you?
Well, All of us, we're a very coastal community all along the Waterford coast. There's a lot of people who spend time for amenity, for fishing purposes, all sorts of reasons. We have an outstanding coastline. It's absolutely gorgeous all the way from Dunmore East, right down as far as Ardmore. And people are worried about the impact that's going to happen. As I've said to many people, and this might sound a bit colloquial, but, you know, I could do without them, but I can't do without them. So I would prefer if somebody invents, if fusion is cracked in the next 5 years and we have limitless emissions-free energy mm-hmm. in perpetuity, then I don't want to see wind turbines off my coast. But until that time arrives, until the technology gets to a point where we don't have a need for this offshore renewable, I'm afraid we're going to have to pursue it because
this is the way we have to
go. Environmental imperative is there.
Una, I've had an email from a listener who wonders, would wind farms not provide a haven for seabirds and fish? Seabird populations in Europe are down by 90% due to overfishing. There's no EU quota on the catches of small fish and sand eels, which are the main food group of larger fish mm-hmm. and marine birds. Is there merit in that?
The wind farms can provide the base of them can provide reef type habitat, but that's a new habitat. Let's just say it's not the one that it's replacing
one.
Something else. And for example, we put tracking devices on shags, which are a type of they look like cormorants. There's a big colony of them on Lambay. We put satellite tags on them to see where they go to eat. To feed their chicks, and most of them travel down to the Kish Bank. Like, there's very clear lines. We could actually follow them. I'm going down to the Kish Bank, where that's where they're feeding on sand eels there. So if that habitat is destroyed or, you know, significantly altered due to wind farm foundations, you know, that's probably gone. Mm-hmm. That habitat is gone. And then what happens to those birds? Because they were only going there. So, you know, I think we need to have a precautionary principle that, yes, there can be some benefits for some species, but there is nuance in this. There's 24 breeding seabirds in Ireland. 23 of them are red or amber listed birds of conservation concern. So they're in trouble, 23 of the 24. So overfishing is one of the impacts that they're already dealing with. There's dumping at sea, there's marine plastics, there's a raft of mm-hmm. issues in the marine environment.
Can we talk about
then wind energy is one more thing on top
to deal with. Can we talk about the distance that these turbines will be positioned at? So it's a minimum of 5 kilometres, isn't it? But a suggested maximum of 8 kilometres. If they were further out, would that make a difference?
No, because some of these seabirds are travelling longer distances than that. And let's just be clear as well, climate change is also impacting the seabirds. So we have to address climate. We have to cut our emissions. Mm-hmm. There will be wind farms in the Irish Sea. We know this. We accept it. What's important is where they go and the minimal impact on seabirds. And I'm just not seeing the urgency with government that to address that in research on productivity of chicks, diet, and a range of other factors to help us know how these seabirds use the Irish Sea.
Okay, Mark, do you agree that more research is needed on the impacts that this will have on seabirds?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was speaking about that in terms of workforce planning, that we need these specialties, but we also need to accelerate things like our marine protected areas. And Una will know this very well. We've moved from 2.3% of our maritime area protected to now 8.3%. And there's a commitment from Minister Noonan to get that to 10% by the end of June. And on top of that, then the general scheme of the Marine Protected Areas Bill, That's gone past government in December of last year. And that's the legislation that we need to underpin a move towards 30% of marine protected areas by 2030. So Una's right, though. This is moving at lightning speed, both in terms of renewables and the need to address the biodiversity crisis. And we have to, as a government, we have to respond as quickly as we can, because there are competing demands here. And we need to make sure that on one hand we're acting on the climate imperative, but we cannot ignore that we're also in a biodiversity crisis.
A listener says, of course, no mention of fishermen who are having vast amounts of fishing grounds taken up by these developments without consultation with fishermen. Is there any consultation, Mark, with fishermen?
I believe so. I think that Marine Protected Areas Bill went out for consultation and we had 99% is what I've seen here of positive feedback on that. There can be a good news story, particularly for inshore and small fishers. in the development of marine protected areas, because it does give better spawning grounds for species. It also, I suppose, makes those larger fishing conglomerates stay further from shore and out of particular areas. So there can be a good news story, I think, for particularly inshore fishermen.
Mark O'Cahasey, Green Party TD, and Una Duggan, Head of Policy and Advocacy at Birdwatch Ireland. Thank you both for joining us. We'll take a break back after this.
Today with Clare Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.